From the House floor to a Senate trial, Chief Justice John Roberts will be presiding.
What he can do is set an example of how a federal judge behaves and how judicial officers take their job. And at a time when the judiciary, like other institutions, is under a lot of criticism, including from the president himself, that may be a valuable example to show to the public.
Plus, we've got an exclusive on Goldman Sachs and its role in a Malaysian corruption scandal. It's Thursday, December 19th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Democrats are signaling they could delay sending two articles of impeachment for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress over to the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's waiting for Senate Republicans to set rules she considers fair. She's also holding off on naming impeachment managers who would act as prosecutors. Chief Justice John Roberts will preside over the trial. We'll have more on his role in that coming up in just a bit. The House of Representatives has approved a new version of a trade agreement between the U.S., China, and Mexico, known as USMCA. The deal will replace NAFTA. One of President Trump's campaign pledges was to renegotiate that deal to benefit U.S. workers. The U.S. Senate is expected to take up the agreement early next year. The Senate is on track to approve two broad spending packages today, totaling nearly $1.4 trillion to avert a government shutdown when current funding runs out on Friday. President Trump has indicated that he plans to sign it. The Senate passed the first package of bills, which focuses on domestic programs, earlier today. It includes the most significant changes to the nation's retirement system in more than a decade. For more details, be sure to listen to our Your Money Briefing podcast on Friday. Swiss drug maker Novartis has launched a lottery to offer the world's most expensive drug for free. Zolgensma, a one-time treatment for infant muscle wasting disease, is a gene therapy drug that costs $2.1 million. Under the program, doctors can submit requests for the treatment for eligible patients. A drawing will take place every 2 weeks. But critics, including patient groups, say the lottery is inappropriate and forces patients to compete for treatment. Seven Democrats will take the stage in Los Angeles tonight for the first debate since the House voted to impeach President Trump. Democrats have been largely united on that issue, but remain split over others, including health care, education, and spending. Tonight's debate is the last of the year. The latest Wall Street Journal NBC News poll finds former Vice President Joe Biden leading the field of candidates, followed by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. For all the highlights from tonight's debate, listen to our AM edition of What's News tomorrow morning. In a Wall Street Journal exclusive, we report that Goldman Sachs is in talks to admit guilt and pay a $2 billion fine to resolve a criminal investigation for its role in a wide-ranging Malaysian corruption scandal. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Hoffman. Let's take a quick step back and just remind listeners of the context of this scandal. This is pretty wide-ranging.
This is widely seen as the largest financial fraud in history. There was a government fund in Malaysia called 1MDB, and it was ostensibly there to help develop the economy, to do development projects. Goldman helped raise about $6.5 billion through bond offerings to its clients. Prosecutors in the U.S. and Asia say that most of that got stolen by a couple of people, but primarily a Malaysian national named Joe Low and his associates, who include two former Goldman bankers, and some officials from the Middle East as well. So just like a massive, massive theft. And a lot of that money has been lost forever, probably. Some of it has been recovered through real estate and other things that governments around the world have seized, a yacht and some art. But this is like a great heist caper.
So, Liz, tell me more about your exclusive on Goldman Sachs and its talks with the U.S. government. What exactly would this settle?
It depends how broad it gets. At the moment, Goldman is talking only really to the Department of Justice, which is one of several agencies that's been looking into this. So it would settle the most serious criminal charges against the bank for violating federal anti-bribery laws. It would probably not settle related matters with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which usually have to do with broker-dealers and disclosures to investors. It would not settle an investigation in Malaysia, which has been ongoing. So there's some loose threads here. Goldman would like to wrap it up sort of comprehensively, they're probably going to have to do it in pieces.
How have the allegations weighed on Goldman?
It's certainly weighed on the stock price. It's widely seen as something that's been pushing down the stock price just because investors don't know how big a problem it's going to be. It's also been a reputational problem. People have to go out and pitch their business, and there's headlines all the time about, you know, corruption and bribery, and it's just a bad, bad look all around.
What are the other loose ends not involving Goldman that have to be tied up here?
Well, Joe Lowe remains at large. The U.S. government would like to prosecute him. He was sort of last known to be in China, but they don't have him. There's another Goldman banker who was extradited from Malaysia here. There are some, you know, both Goldman bankers, one has pleaded guilty. He'll need to be sentenced. The other has pleaded not guilty and will either need to be tried or have that wrapped up. And, you know, there's some other banks. Deutsche Bank has been sort of implicated in this. And this is, you know, the first bond offerings. 1MDB was started about 10 years ago. The first bond offerings were in 2012. So this has really been a long-running scandal, and it's only gotten wider as it's gone.
Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Hoffman, thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
After Wednesday's lengthy debate and vote, the next stop for the articles of impeachment is the Senate. The Constitution requires the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court to preside over a Senate trial of the president. So it will be on Chief Justice John Roberts to take on that role. It's a more public one for Roberts. Most of the high court's proceedings take place behind closed doors. And the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump is sure to attract plenty of attention. Joining me now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven. So, Jess, before we get to Chief Justice Roberts' specific role, what can you tell us about how the impeachment trial in the Senate will work?
Well, actually, we don't really know to a large extent because the Senate has not adopted rules for this specific trial. There are guidelines that the Senate adopted in 1986 before there were any 20th century impeachment trials, and they suggest that the Senate will meet in the afternoon. There will be obviously a prosecution led by the House managers and a defense by the president's lawyers. And there will be a presiding officer. That's the Chief Justice of the United States. The Constitution actually requires that the Chief Justice preside when the president is tried in an impeachment proceeding. We know that there have to be two-thirds of the senators present voting to convict. Otherwise, the president would be acquitted of the impeachment charges. So we know those things. We know as well that in contrast to a typical trial where the trial judge runs the show, and while there can be objections to his decisions, those have to be decided by higher courts down the line. In this court of impeachment, as it's known, the jury actually outranks the judge and can overrule him. So if the Chief Justice were to make a decision about admitting evidence or particular argument or whether to call a witness, the Senate could, by a simple majority vote, overrule him. And that's, again, something very different. It's like having seven jurors able to overrule the trial judge when he decides whether certain evidence is going to come in or not to a criminal trial. So that's one distinction. And in fact, the Chief Justice doesn't even have to make a ruling. The 1986 guidelines say that he can choose to simply let the Senate vote. He can punt and let them vote on those questions themselves directly.
So obviously impeachment is a highly polarizing issue, and you write about how the presence of Justice Roberts could actually serve to calm that partisanship. Tell us a little bit more about, given his history, the role he might play here, how he might direct proceedings.
Well, he's got very few precedents to go on. There are only two prior impeachment trials of a president, and one per century, basically. So there aren't a lot of simple models for him to follow. But the Chief Justice runs the Supreme Court courtroom with a firm but not insensitive hand, so he knows how to run proceedings. There's very little incentive for any of the parties to try to tick him off because he will remain a very powerful figure in other settings for many years to come. Whether he can somehow alter the character or the tenor of the proceedings themselves is hard to say. What he can do is set an example of how a federal judge behaves and how judicial officers take their job. And at a time when the judiciary, like other institutions, is under a lot of criticism, including from the president himself, that may be a valuable example to show to the public. Or alternatively, it may not. If things get out of hand and he can't control it and it's a political circus and he is overwhelmed by it, that too will communicate a message. I don't think any of us expects that, but a lot of unexpected things have happened in recent years.
Jess, as you point out, aside from this impeachment trial, President Trump also has a lot of issues that are going to be coming before the Supreme Court, which obviously Justice Roberts sits on.
That's, I think, a really important part of the dynamic to keep in mind. In this trial, in this event, although the Chief Justice will have his black robes and he'll be sitting at this rostrum and he'll appear like a lordly magistrate overseeing these events, the fact is he actually has, on paper, relatively little power because he can be so easily overruled by a majority of the Senate. But coming up in the months ahead are other matters involving President Trump, very important to whether he keeps his job in November when there will be another election, and what happens to him when he eventually leaves office. And that's because, one, some of his important policies are currently in the hands of the Supreme Court. For example, the DACA program, the temporary relief for illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. President Trump has sought to cancel that Obama-era program. Lower courts have stopped him. The Supreme Court heard argument about this and is going to decide probably in June whether that program can be canceled by the president or whether he has to take another crack at the rationale for ending it. Maybe even more important, the president has been fighting to stymie a number of subpoenas issued by House committees and the New York County prosecutor, Cyrus Vance, for his financial records. And these subpoenas go to his accountants and to banks for House and state investigators reviewing hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and other aspects of his accounting that have raised questions. If the Supreme Court is going to hear arguments in that in March, they won't be televised. Perhaps they'll be live audio. We don't know yet. That case also will be decided likely in June, and that decision may have a tremendous effect on the president's future and how he is perceived. So the fact that we can see Chief Justice Roberts behaving now may in fact color the way we look at what the Supreme Court ultimately does, since he, as the head of the federal judiciary, really embodies that third branch of government.
All right, so plenty more to come here. Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Jess.
Anytime, Anne-Marie.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.